Blog Talk Radio.
Your will be done. yes. Well, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, indeed. Thank the Most High that we are back again. Back again for another episode, for another very precious, precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very, very thankful. Yes, indeed. So very, very thankful to the One Most High for the opportunity. Yes, for the opportunity to be back with you. Be back with you here again. Yes, my brothers and sisters, speak these very precious words. The Most High has granted me for the blessing of his people. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed he has told me, that for his cause, he has for me some very important things that I must do. He told me because of what I must do, he said to me that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, I would have his protection and his guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, he's told me that I must tell you things that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, yes, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And if they could, my brothers and sisters, to destroy. I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, the Most High told me these words. He said to me that some of the biggest lies, I said some of the biggest lies have been told to hide the greatest truths. He told me, my brothers and sisters, the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What men think they know, what they presume they know, not giving full consideration to all that the Most High has spoken, has not been wisdom at all. And it's time we discern, my brothers and sisters, what indeed is truly. I said that we discern indeed truly what is the righteousness of the One Most High. We must discern, my brothers and sisters, indeed, without question, what is truly the hope of the gospel. Dare we say that the gospel of the One Most High is somehow complicit with all the diverse standards of all the nations? Dare we believe, my brothers and sisters, dare we believe that the multitude of different ideologies taught among a multitude of contentious nations is the way of peace? Dare we even believe that a multitude of diverse standards across the nations in their contentions, their differences, their misopinion, dare we even believe, my brothers and sisters, that such as this can be a covenant? Can such diverse ideologies bring true wisdom, knowledge, understanding, coalescence to the earth, or have the multitude of misrepresentations that we see claiming to be somehow righteous? Have they been, my brothers and sisters, have they been a healing to the earth? Or have they been a constant obstacle? My brothers and sisters, the time has come that we must discern beyond the multitude of illusions, the presuppositions, the preconceived notions, misperceptions that so many have been compelled to trust, that frankly, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways have only been an obstacle against our people awakening to discern beyond what has been the most deadly adversary. Yes, an adversary of infectious illusions that have compelled many to believe they've overcome an enemy that still in their hearts persists. Compels men, my brothers and sisters, to believe they've gained the favor of the One Most High by trusting in testimonies that by no means are true to Him. Many have asked the question, and many have had many differing ideas as to who is that people called Edom that the scriptures speak of, that people that the scriptures say are called ultimately, if you will, the sons of Esau. My brothers and sisters, there has been much, much misunderstanding with regard to identifying this people. And amazingly enough, or maybe not so amazingly, whenever people has felt that there have been those who have mistreated them, so often they have said that their adversaries were this people called Esau. More specifically, these people called Edom. I'd like to go to a piece of scripture to explain to you why. I'd like to read a few passages of scripture that might be highly revelatory, should be highly revelatory, to the heart that's willing to see the truth. Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, I dare say the most who say they believe have never even known the truth of the gospel, never truly known and understood the hope of the promise. And my brothers and sisters have been like those who have continually, I said continually, hated what the Most High has chosen, hated what the Most High has planned, hated, my brothers and sisters, the plan of the Most High whereby this world shall surely be one day blessed and made one unto peace. Much to be discerned, my brothers and sisters, much to be discerned, but I can only say that if the heart is full well willing, truth will be heard this night, and the truth will also be understood. I'd like to read a bit of scripture to you. We need to explain who is this Esau. Let us read what the scripture says concerning him in the book of Malachi. It says, the burden, or if you will, the oracle, the word, or the prophecy, if you will, of the word of the Most High to Israel by Malachi. I'm reading Malachi 1:1. If anybody's out there that wants to paste these verses in, if you have the capacity, please do. The burden, the word of the Most High to Israel by Malachi. He says, at 1:2, I have loved you, says the Most High. Yet you say, wherein? Israel has not understood. Wherein hast thou loved us? This is the King James Version, by the way. However, I would tell you there are other translations that relate this word, I think with a bit more specificity, but I'm just going to read to you what is popular perception of this text. Most High said, I've loved you. Remember, this is a word to Israel. Yet you say, question, ask, wherein, how, about what have you loved us? He says, was not Esau, Jacob's brother? Consider this. It could well have been, since and we'll talk about this in a moment. Genesis, you look at some of those scriptures back in Genesis that speak about the promises that the Most High made to both Esau and Jacob. And you look that up in Genesis 27. Says, was not Esau Jacob's brother? It could have been that the Most High had chosen it to be that way, if he had, that you would say that the sons of Esau, Edom, could have been the children through which the promise of Yah was preserved. But we will read shortly in the scripture how that was not to be so. We'll even read about how Jacob was actually the younger of the two brothers. But the Most High had a plan when you talk about what that is. So it was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Most High, and said, yet I have loved Jacob. And they put down in your King James Version, and I hated. I would not say that's the best choice of words, however. I know there are those who will look at this and immediately be a little bit upset that I even dared to say such a thing, but the truth matters what it is. Malachi 1:3, and it says, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains waste, and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom says, If Edom says and cries out that we are impoverished, and therefore we will return and build the desolate places. Oh, what is the scripture portending? It says, thus says the Most High of hosts, I will that they shall build, they may build, but I will throw them down. And they shall call them. How about all nations shall call Edom the border of wickedness, the borders of wickedness. But it shall be that if you understand this, my brothers, this is what it's saying. When it says, Edom should be called the borders of wickedness, and the people against whom wickedness is also the same concept of a people who have erred, a people who are lawless, a people who are unruly, people who resist discipline. The border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Most High hath indignation forever. What is this portending, my brothers and sisters? Malachi 1:5. And it says, your eyes shall see. How about this, my brothers and sisters? Your eyes shall see what the Most High has portended and brought to bear upon Edom. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Most High, even the Holy One of Israel, will be magnified. The word from and beyond is the same thing. Magnified in terms of his fame, his glory, his honor. Beyond the borders of Israel. But I would have you to note what scripture says here, continuing. And speaking concerning Israel here, he says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Most High of hosts, unto you, even also to his, the priest of Israel, that have despised my name. How about the fact that the priests have despised the superior authority of the Most High himself, seeking so often in their multitude of differences, to have dominion over the people, but not true in all things to the law of the one Most High. And the people have said, wherein? Also the priests have said, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar, In other words, the word you teach is tainted after the precepts of your own minds. So wherein have we polluted thee? How about even polluted his name? The people of his name. taught doctrines that have defiled both the temple and the concepts of the people. It said, it is in that you say the table, or what the Most High truly would offer, grant, grace his people with the truth. The rulers oftentimes have compelled the people to call it contemptible. And he said, and if ye offer the blind for a sacrifice, the people who cannot see, cannot discern, how about don't know the truth of the gospel, the word that exceeds all the nations, after which all the nations, my brothers and sisters, must be gathered, must finally know indeed the way of peace. He said, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, if you give to the Most High as priests, as pastors, elders, rabbis, governors, kings, an offering such as this, a people less than healed, is it not evil? You bring such an offering to your governor, will he be pleased with thee, or will he accept your person? My brothers and sisters, the scriptures say that if we offer to the Most High something less than what is acceptable to him, and it's evident that when we look across the nations and see, 45,000 denominations, who knows how many different religiosities, 280 nations, this is not the result of man having had a love of the truth. We need to remember that. The promise to the Most High, my brothers and sisters, or the promise the Most High gave that his people are to hearken to, is not a blessing unto those who are continually disobedient, but to those who are hearken to him unto obedience. So let us consider what all is being said here. There's much I've spoken, but there's a need, my brothers and sisters, to listen closely for all the points that are herein related. Most High told me again, greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What men think they know, what men have surmised, what they've concluded then, not giving consideration to all the Most High said, is not wisdom. No, my brothers and sisters, not wisdom at all. He says, now I pray you, beseech the Most High that he be gracious, petition him, pray unto him, that he'll be gracious unto us, for this has been by your means. In other words, he's saying that something less, my brothers and sisters, than acceptable offering has been at the surmising conceits of men. He said, will he, after this manner of dishonor, regard your persons? Truth, my brothers and sisters, ultimately not. There's something to be considered about this, my brothers and sisters. Truly there is. I would have you to consider a few other verses here. And there's a need to consider all this written here and consider the verses also that I'm about to relate, because we're going to have to take all these things and put them together. And blessed is the soul that is attentive, that will. How about Hebrews 12 and 5. In the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer wrote to his people saying this, and you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto us, unto you as unto children, saying, my son, despise not the chastening of the Most High, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Most High loves, he chastens. And he scourges every son with whom, every son whom he receives or whom he is pleased. Keep that in mind, my brothers and sisters. The scriptures speak, and I will explain this in a minute, about what is salvation by faith. Let's consider these verses. If ye endure chastening, Yah dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, then those you resist discipline, whereof you should all be partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, if we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, speaking of parents, verily for a few days chastened as a discipline after their own pleasure. But Yah disciplines unto our ultimate profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present, for the time the chastening occurs, it seemed to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees. Oh, where did this verse come from? Isaiah 41 needs to be looked at. Make straight the paths of your feet, lest that which is lame is turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Oh, here's the verses I would like to call attention with regard to Esau. The verse a little bit earlier that speaks also concerning this. Say, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Most High. Looking diligently, lest any man fail or fall short of the grace of Yah, the gift of Yah. What is it? Lest any man allow a root of bitterness to spring up to trouble you. And thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. What are they talking about? Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. How about one who will walk after the will of another? How about one resistant to discipline? How about one who does not fully honor the grace, the gift of truth the Most High would give? We went back to Hebrews 10 and 26 and read on. It talks about it being an ultimate insult, a blasphemy against the gift of the Most High, that he would offer a man the knowledge of the truth and he would turn back. For my brothers and sisters, without the knowledge of the truth, there is no inheritance. But let there be, in other words, it's talking about hearkening to the Most High, lest after deceit many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Who say Esau's children were? They were called Edom. We can look at the verse that speak about that in Genesis in a moment. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, what are we talking about here? He was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Let us go back a moment. I'd like to go back to Hebrews in the 11th chapter. Earlier on in the 11th chapter here. Okay. Here we are. Hebrews 11. Let's see. Let me make sure what's the best, because there's a lot of these verses in here that I could go through, but as one in particular I think might be utmost prime. Here we go. Somebody, whoever can do this for me, I'd appreciate it. If they put this verse up in the chat, Hebrews 11 and 20. See, remember the promise, put them up. Thank you for that. He says, by faith, Isaac, Yishak, blessed Jacob, and Esau concerning the things to come. Did you hear me? By faith, Yishak blessed blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. If we go back and look at the scriptures concerning this, we'll find them in the book of Genesis, in the 27th chapter. We'll find the story of this. I believe it needs to be read. I believe it needs to be examined, that we might discern the course of what these scriptures are, the course of concerning what these scriptures are speaking, that we might discern the insight as to what these verses meant to them of times of old. Before we do that, in Genesis 27, I want to give attention to Genesis, that this might also be made clear. Genesis 32:3, and Jacob sent message before him to Esau, his brother, into the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Okay? That's one verse. That is Genesis 32:3. Very good. Genesis 36:1. And says, now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Another example, Genesis 36:19. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom, and these are their dukes. I think the point now should be well established that Esau is Edom. But let us examine the scriptures for the story, my brothers and sisters, of who Edom is. Who is Esau? Keep in mind, somebody please put down Genesis 27, because we're going to go there in just a moment. But before we do, there's a story that needs to be understood with regard to Jacob and the birth of Rebekah's sons, Jacob and Esau. I'd like to go to Genesis 27th chapter. 27th chapter. Here we go. 27th and 20 is a good place to start. Genesis 25 and 20. And it says here, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah the wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. Let us continue. And Yishak, Isaac, entreated the Most High for his wife, Rebekah, because she was barren. And the Most High was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children, she was not to bear just one child. And he said, and the children struggled within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? In other words, she's asking, why was she had such a hard pregnancy with the two children? And she went to inquire the Most High. The Most High said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, from a womb. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve, listen to this, It says the elder son shall serve the younger son. Entirely outside ordinary characteristic in this regard. Usually the elder son is given the greater privilege. But in this case, it said two nations are in thy womb. In other words, their children will bring forth two differing nations. And in this case, the elder, in other words, the child who is to come forth, the elder, the child who is to come forth first, shall serve the child to come forth second. Wow. Consider this, my brothers and sisters. And it says, when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, it says, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. That would be the elder. All over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, which would have been the younger, the second. But his hand took hold. Notice, his hand took hold of Esau's heel. Wow. Couldn't let Esau come out first. And his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And his name, in other words, get the point, Esau could not be totally born or brought forth to the world without his brother. And his name was called Jacob. Some call that name heel catcher or supplanter. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Supplanter, one who would take the place of the other. How about the idea about he would take hold of his brother's birthright, which we are going to talk about shortly. Here. And his name was called Jacob. And Yitzchak, Isaac, was 70 old when she bare them, 60 years old. And the boys grew. Boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Yitzchak loved Esau because he eat of his venison. Get the point. Esau was a hunter. Yitzchak, his father, in this case, loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, the game that Esau brought to him. But Rebekah, and I want you to think about this, Rebekah was the one who was told that the younger of the two would have the primacy, even that the elder son, Esau, would serve Jacob. Genesis, guess this again. Yitzchak loved Esau. He loved Esau. He preferred Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah preferred or loved Jacob. Genesis 25:29, and Jacob sowed pottage. In other words, he grew plants of the field. Sounds so much like another story here, doesn't it? Adam and it says about with regard to Cain and Abel, Adam's sons. Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Pottage is vegetables. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. How about like a vegetable soup? For I'm faint. Therefore his name, what was his name called? Edom. Edom meaning red. Something else to think about. Genesis 25 and 31. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Now I'm going to tell you this now. This event occurred well before it was close to the death of Jacob and Esau's father, Isaac, Yitzhak. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. In other words, for the pottage or for the kind of vegetable soup or vegetable plate that he had. And at Genesis 25:32, Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright then do to me? If I die, shall I inherit a birthright? Is what he was saying. But remember, the Most High promised. Did you hear me? Most High promised a birthright to the children, of Yishak, who was the son of Abraham. And this ultimate birthright, this promise that the Most High gave to Abraham, remember, my brothers and sisters, if we go back to Genesis 17, go back to Genesis 15, was ultimately for the blessing. How about the redemption? How about the discipline unto peace? A whole world. Say, what profit shall birthright do to me? Did he forget the Most High still has a plan? And remember, in the eye or the mind of Esau, in the mind of Esau, as the elder of the two brothers, the greater birthright belonged to him. Remember, my brothers and sisters, also, if we read the scriptures closely, it appears that in the mind of his father Isaac, the greater of the birthright belonged to Esau, and that he was the eldest son. But look at what occurred. And remember what the Most High had already said. And Jacob says, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Oh! My brother and sister, the promise of the Most High, or what he believed was his right by birth, he sold, even despised it, and sold it to his brother, Jacob. Do you remember what we read earlier? Remember what we read earlier? In Hebrews, talked about how Esau sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. Therefore, it was considered an insult to the Most High. I want you to consider. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. Lentils as vegetables. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And it says, thusly, Esau despised his birthright. Okay. We need to understand, my brothers and sisters. We need to understand. This was at a time that there was soon to come yet a type of famine in the land. Much we could say about that. I would strongly suggest that you read Genesis 26 to read the verses that lead up to Genesis 27. All this needs to be examined, my brothers and sisters, and taken into consideration, I promise you. Genesis 27. I'm looking at my time, and I want to make sure I still get the primary points out tonight. Genesis 27:1. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that you give. It says, it came to pass when Isaac, Yitzhak, was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said to him, notice that Esau being the eldest son, the one to whom Isaac had preferred to set forth his birthright. He called Esau, his eldest son. Was everything considered with regard to what Jacob had done? With regard when he got his brother to sell him his birthright, or when Esau sold his birthright to his brother Jacob? Was that considered at this time? Apparently, Yitzchak was not considerate of this, or maybe he was not even fully aware of this. Maybe he was not as convinced as was Rebekah, who heard the voice of the Most High tell her that in her womb was two nations. But consider. He called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said to him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. In other words, the day of his passing could be any time he did not know, but he wanted to pass on the birthright. Remember, he said in Hebrews, it talks about when the time came, he would have inherited. He said he could not, though he sought it with tears. Here's the story. Genesis 27:3. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee. He told him, Yitzchak was going to pass his birthright on to Esau. He said, now, therefore, I pray thee, take thy weapon, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go into the field, and take me some venison. Make me savory meat such as I love, I desire, I prefer, and bring it to me that I may eat. They may so that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Yitzchak spake to Esau, his son. Rebekah heard this. She also, remember, favored Jacob. She had already heard also with regard to the birthright passing on the promise that it would go to Jacob here. And Rebekah heard when Yitzchak spake to Esau, his son. Wow. A lot of these repetitions of this seem this kind of story. When we read with regard to Cain and Abel, with regard to Ishmael and Isaac. Well, let us continue. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring him. And Rebekah, because she went quickly to her son and spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison. Game. From the hunt. Yitzchak had spoken to Esau, said, bringing me game from the hunt, and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Most High, before my death. And he said, now therefore, Genesis 27:8, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. He said, now go to the flock. This is Rebekah speaking to Jacob. Now go down to the flock and fetch me thence two good kids of the goats. Could it be here that they're saying that Yitzchak might not recognize the difference between the two goats? And the result of hunting? So now go to the flock, fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I'll make them savory meat for thy father which he loves, of the kind he loves, and thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, that he may bless thee, Jacob, before his death. And remember, Yitzchak had determined to bless Esau. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. He said, my father, peradventure, perhaps then will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, in other words, Yitzchak discerning that he was being deceived, it was the desire of Jacob not to be determined as Jacob, but rather as his brother, at least for that time, that he was going to receive a blessing from his father Yeshaka, Isaac. And he said, and his mother said to him, upon me be thy curse, thou my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. Remember, Rebecca, however, had heard the voice of the Most High concerning her sons. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father Isaac loved. Rebecca took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau. Took goodly raiment, some of Esau's apparel, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats, In other words, a woolly skin, or if you will, a hairy skin of these goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. Must have been where Esau was a hairy man. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which he had prepared into the hand of her son, Jacob. And he came to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau. Maybe Isaac was a little not so determined in his hearing at the time. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Also, we're talking about the idea that apparently at the time, Yishak was also maybe in many ways quite blind. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison. It wasn't venison, though, was it? Or it wasn't game from the field. Eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Yishak said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? He said, because the Most High has brought it to me. Wow. Look at the story. For the Most High had chosen to pass the blessing to Jacob. And Isaac said, Yishak said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that my feel thee, my son, whether thou be verily or absolutely or surely my son Esau or not. Wow. Sounds like Yishai might have been a bit suspicious. And Jacob went near unto Yishak, Isaac his father. And he felt him and said, the voice, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed Jacob. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, Jacob said, I am. Wow. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him. Jacob brought it near to him, his father, Isaac. And he said, he did eat. And he drank him, he brought him wine, and he did drink. And his father, Let's go back. I misplaced just a second. Genesis 27:26. And his father Isaac said to him, come near now, kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. He smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him. He said, see the smell of my son, the smell of the field, which the Most High has blessed. Therefore, Yah give thee the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of corn and wine. This is a blessing being passed on. In this case, it's being passed on to Jacob. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. Wow. That's a very powerful blessing being placed upon Jacob. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, you can say in some of the ways that blessing being passed on was in many ways a repudiation of any curse that may have come upon Jacob for his words. But remember, the Most High had already determined to bless Jacob. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac, Yitzchak, had made an end of the blessing, end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, Yitzchak, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. Oh, boy. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father. And he said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of my son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Yitzchak, Isaac, trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that has taken my venison then and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou, eaten of it all before thou came, before you came, before Esau came. Who is it that Esau wants? Let's just say Yitzchak wanted to know. Who is this other Esau, if you will, that he had blessed? We know that it had been actually, in this case, not Esau at all, but Jacob. He said, I have eaten of all before you, Esau, came, and I have blessed him. Yea, and Isaac declared, yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. Remember the scripture says he sought this petition with tears. And said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Remember the scriptures we just read in Hebrews earlier about Esau having already sold and despised his birthright. But he came to claim it later. So we see an offense in some ways, both in terms of what Esau did and also what Jacob did. Remember, Esau had sworn to sell his birthright. Keep it in mind. Isaac was still the one through whom that birthright was going to be passed, however. Things work as the Most High would have them, no matter what. Genesis 27:35, and he said, thy brother came with subtlety, deceitfully, guile, even treachery. Isaac says, thy brother, Jacob, came with subtlety and has taken away thy blessing. And Esau says, is not he rightly called Jacob? I will tell you something, my brothers and sisters, that term supplanter also relates one who would come with guile. For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, he has taken away my blessing. So we understand why Esau later would be quite angry at him. Esau would be quite angry with Jacob. But remember, Esau did not have to sell his birthright, did he? And he took away my birthright, and behold, now he, Jacob, has taken away my blessing. And Jacob said, okay, here. In this case, because of what had occurred between Yitzchak and Jacob. Esau asked, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" This is Esau's words. And Yitzhak answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy Lord." Listen to this. This is the blessing. So behold, concerning Esau, he said this blessing to his son Esau. He said, "Behold, I have made," in this case, Jacob, his younger brother, the one blessed above, the elder brother. "Behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him." All that his brethren have I given to him for servants. "And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Let me say he pursued the birthright promise with tears. And Yitzhak his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling place shall be the fatness of the earth, and the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live." And listen what he said. "And shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." Now we understand, my brothers and sisters, we read the book of Obadiah. It relates that Jacob surely would, Israel, unto the glory of Yah, must surely have dominion. The book of Jacob, the book of Obadiah, concerning Israel, Jacob, relates this as assured. Let us understand what's being said here. It says that while Esau has dominion, he shall seek to shake off. I hope you understand this, my brothers and sisters. The promise of Yah. The birthright promise of Yah. From his head. Now, there's something to be considered concerning this, my brothers and sisters, and it's a very powerful premise. I'd like to relate it to you. I'll relate it just as soon as we read Genesis 27:41. It says, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him." In other words, how about he was jealous? He despised this promise. Now, we understand that the promise of the Most High for the blessing of a world still had to go forth through Jacob. I would go ahead and tell you, since time is short, let us consider that the very fact that Israel is promised dominion and the nation shall be made subject to Israel, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, as a reference point, is the blessing of the nations. When the Most High sent his Messiah, who sent forth his disciples, his apostles, saying, "Go forth and teach, convert the nations." That's the same thing as subduing the nations in preaching unto them the truth of the promise that the nations might be converted, that all might become true to the will of one. This is another very important point, my brothers and sisters, needs to be considered. But it says, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. How about Esau hated the promise of the Most High? And Esau said in his heart, "The days of thy mourning for thy father are at hand." And say, "Then will I slay my brother Jacob." And these words of Esau, her eldest son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Behold, thy brother, concerning thee, does comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise and flee thou to Laban, thy brother in Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away." until thy anger turn away from thee. And he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then will I send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of both of you both in one day? There is something to be considered here, my brothers and sisters. Consider, when you speak of this parallel, those who are already in authority. Did you hear me? Those who already are in authority would certainly not seek to be supplanted, even by one the Most High himself chooses. Please keep it in mind. I repeat, those already having authority would certainly not seek to be supplanted, not even by one the Most High for his purposes has chosen. Remember, the elder brother was Esau, who became Edom. The younger brother was Jacob, whose name was changed to be called Israel, the people of the Most High, the children of the covenant through which the covenant was to be passed on. There's a powerful parallel in this to be understood, my brothers and sisters. Surely there is. There's another verse that I would like you to give consideration. All these things must be considered in discerning what indeed is the gospel. In this case, I'd like to give attention to Mark 16 and 15. And I see this is a topic that's going to demand more discussion beyond this night, because there's so many factors here that have to be considered in terms of discerning it all. Mark 16 and 15. These are the words of Messiah. Mark 16 and 15. And he said unto them, he said unto his disciples, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel. What is this gospel? To every creature. And he said, he that believeth and is baptized, who believes this gospel? He believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Let me repeat it. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Understand, my brothers and sisters, we are talking about a word that is to be a common love, even for all, I repeat, all the people. Understand, he told Abraham that his seed, his children, would be a blessing to all nations. This is not a word that relates ultimate contention. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? This is a word relating that all nations must aspire to, all nations must conform to, all nations must be converted unto. My brothers and sisters, we're talking about bringing all nations ultimately to one love. Even that all nations awaken beyond every false premise and promise and misallegiance, an alternate sense of what is vision, aspiration, design, and desire. That all speak the same word. In fact, the scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians 1:10, in the name of the Most High, we must all speak the same thing. No divisions among us. And in the book of Corinthians, we are talking to a church, with regard to a church that had both, hear me, Gentile as well as some Jewish, I said Gentile as well as some Jewish, congregants. So let us consider, my brothers and sisters, this truth. after what all, what more these scriptures have to say, if we are indeed wise unto the cause of the One Most High. I'd like to call attention to a verse in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, in the 10th chapter, 4th through the, well, let's go back. 10 and 3, 2 Corinthians. Though we walk in the flesh, remember, the flesh has allegiances according to what seems appropriate, acceptable, after the ambitions and desires of the flesh. So though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, those who are true to the Most High have a desire to see His ultimate will be done. And the only offering the Most High will accept of this world is peace. He said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not after the design, the desires of the flesh. Salvation, my brothers and sisters, is not after the conceits, designs, devices, works of men. The salvation of this world, the world being made wise to overcome every misallegiance, every divisive and contentious sin, misunderstanding, misallegiance, misrepresentation. That salvation, man being made one unto the Most High, not after the various nations, but it is after the will of Yah. And even, my brothers and sisters, the gift the Most High grants that His people discern beyond all the adversarial tendencies of men. So though if we walk in the flesh, after the flesh, physically in the flesh, we do not war. How about do not conceive? How about we do not seek to convert the world after the designs of the flesh? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not after the hatred, the animosity that is common after unguided and undisciplined flesh, but mighty through Yah. How about the gift, the grace, the love of Yah to the pulling down of strongholds? How about those who resist that love, who resist that promise? Casting down false imaginations. So then the weapons of our warfare must be the truth against false imaginations, against presumptuous, against misimaginations. How about misexegesis and misadministration of Scripture, misrepresentations against the true righteousness and plan of Yah? Casting down imaginations, false imaginations, every high thing or whatever would exalt itself against the knowledge of Yah. Remember Isaiah in the 11th chapter. It says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all His holy mountain. Ultimately speaking, and all that the day must come when all, hear me, my brothers and sisters, not just Israel as His holy mountain, but all nations shall be holy unto the Most High. Yes, did you hear me? All nations shall be blessed, made one in the knowledge of the Most High, for the knowledge of Yah, Isaiah 11, my brothers and sisters, the knowledge of Yah shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. But everything that would resist that knowledge, resist that primacy, resist that dominion, that word of peace from the Most High shall be cast down. My brothers and sisters, in fact, must be converted. Say, go forth and teach all nations, baptizing, converting, making disciples of all nations, baptizing, purging them of every misconceit, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, unto the full glory and honor of the Most High. Teach them to do everything He commands. I did not say subdividing this word to break the law. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yah, and bringing, if you will, all, even all nations, into captivity. Every thought, everything that would be contentious against Yah, and bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience. And I pray you will understand this, the one who is called the Kurdi. We talked so many times about this word Christ being a Greek word, polytheist, catering to all the devices of the nations. The one called the Kurdi, the righteous one like unto the rising sun to cast out all the darkness, to reveal the light the world would obscure. The scripture says that he, according to Isaiah 41, the Most High will cause him to subdue all nations. Nations given his dust to his sword and driven stubble to his bow. Yes, my brothers and sisters, he is the one called King of Kings. And we should have in us a readiness to revenge all disobedience, whatever would stand against that course of peace, that one true and living law. What the scripture says? Behold my servant, my elect, and my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. That's one rule above all the nations. He shall preach the gospel, the word of the Most High, pure and complete above all the selfish ambitions and selfish exaltations, the pride of the nations. Behold my servant, my elect, and my soul delights, Isaiah 42. I put my spirit upon him. Here's my testimony, this exceeding testimony upon him. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he said justice, what is true righteousness before Yah on the earth, and I shall wait for his law. We read the rest of Isaiah 42. Going into 43, we find this will be the overthrow of Babylon. Every misconceit that men have trusted, every false dream and aspiration that the nations have had against the dominion that the Most High has promised his people, that a world shall be conformed, converted, made one, blessed, after one word of holiness. What does the scripture say? The isles shall wait for his law. Knowledge of Yah shall cover the earth as the water covers the sea. No more war. They shall not hurt nor destroy. One scripture says it this way. It says he shall speak peace to the nations. Men shall learn war no more. At the time of the law, the Most High goes forth from Jerusalem. He shall rebuke all nations. Reprove all nations from Jerusalem. We should have in us those who desire that peace after one king, a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Meaning, we all must be conformed to the plan the Most High has had and has declared from the beginning with regard to how this world should be conformed after the way of peace. That, my brothers and sisters, is the love of Yah. What is the gospel, my brothers and sisters? Say, he who believes the gospel shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be damned. We read that earlier in Mark. Mark 16:15 through 16. I said Mark 16:15 through 16. My brothers and sisters, what does it mean when the scriptures speak of salvation then by faith? Powerful premise, my brothers and sisters, to be understood. A very, very powerful premise. When it speaks of salvation by faith, my brothers and sisters, let us remember that the scriptures in Isaiah 59:16, and we talked about those scriptures many times in this show, Isaiah 59:16 through 60 and 12, really need to read all the way out to the 61st chapter, around the 5th verse. There's much there to be understood. Most High said the Messiah would come, put upon himself the whole armor of Yah. For what purpose? He said, for righteousness' sake. How then by then, my brothers and sisters, for peace' sake, he will judge and make war. One scripture says he will smite and then make peace. Isaiah 19 says, even all the nations shall be called the nations that Yah has blessed. He said Egypt should be called, even Egypt and Assyria should be called his people. Israel is a blessing in the midst of the land. Think about it. 19:18-25 Isaiah. So the nations be delivered in being delivered into Israel's hands, my brothers and sisters, is a blessing, and that the nation shall be conformed into the wisdom of Yah. When Israel is again herself conformed in all things to the wisdom of Yah, in the day that her light shall arise. Isaiah 59:16 talks about, Ezekiel 59 chapter talks about the time the Most High has looked, starting back around the 8th verse. Hey, the way of peace men have not known. Everybody is so avaricious according to their own designs, they can't see what is submission to the will of Yah, that there might be peace. Everybody wants to conform everything to their own ideals. Already exited institutions, not ready to accept the coming of the one called Shiloh. I pray you will understand what I mean by this, Israel. Isaiah 59:16-12, talks about one who comes, puts upon himself the arm of the Most High. For those who would turn from transgression, who would turn away from all this insane warfare, who be comforted after the will of one, they would turn from all this transgression, whatever dissuades his people against the hope of peace. Scripture goes on and says, once Israel has received her light and has conformed, it says in 16:12, the nation that will not serve Israel, how about will not serve true according to the righteousness of Yah, shall perish. What about Isaiah 61? My brothers and sisters, I'm looking at my time. It's short. I'm going to have to work through this quickly to relate the points that I say I will tell you now are utmost important. Isaiah 61 speaks of Messiah in the latter days, saying, the Spirit of the Most High is upon me because the Most High has anointed me to preach good tidings. How about a word beyond all the nations to convert all the nations? Preach good tidings unto the meek. I did not say those who are prideful after the premises after which they are born, but those who are called as the elect of the Most High to hear the word of the Most High unto one peace and one understanding. And he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, claim liberty to the captives. How about to deliver his elect midst of all the nations unto the will of one? To open the prison to them that are bound. In other words, show the world beyond all the misinstitutionality of man, only that nation which the Most High has declared eternal, offers eternal life and the hope of blessing. Claim the acceptable year of the Most High, the day of the vengeance of our Yah, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, that thou may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Most High, that he may be glorified. And they shall build, foreigners from among the nations shall build. How about they shall come to help you build the old waste places? They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities. One scripture says kings shall be your nursing fathers and queen your nursing mothers. And they shall repair the waste cities. They shall seek to repair that which they sought to destroy. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand in for strangers, Gentiles among the Gentiles shall come, and they shall be those who feed your flocks. And the sons of the foreigners, in this case he's talking about Gentiles, those among the nations who did not believe, who formerly did not believe, shall be your plowmen. They shall be your servants. They shall be your vine dressers. One who care for your vines, one who care for your the land of your fields. But Israel shall be named the priests of the Most High. And all nations, if you will, shall call you the ministers of our Yah. And you shall eat the riches of the nations. And in their glory shall you boast yourselves. But brothers and sisters, when the scriptures speak salvation by faith, it is those called from among the nations who trust that Yah shall redeem this world true to his promise by giving dominion unto a remnant of Israel that shall speak no lies, that shall do no iniquity. And the Most High has already forsworn that they shall have peace, and there shall be none to harm or dissuade them. Those among the nations who trust by divine guidance in the truth of the Torah, the truth of the law of the Most High, as it is revealed and restored after the oneness of mind granted by Messiah himself, true to the gospel authority as revealed by that one he calls Shiloh at Genesis 49:10, the one that is expected out of the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver out of the tribe of Judah. Unto him shall all the nations seek. Unto him shall all the people be gathered. For he is the one unto whom it belongs. I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. None of the various factions of man, none of the various factions among those who even today even call themselves Hebrews, have the power to take the land and discipline the nations under one peace. The Most High has promised one through whom he shall do this. There's much to be understood about this, my brothers and sisters. Much to be understood concerning this. Consider that Edom then, my brothers and sisters, spiritually speaking, is whatever people it be that resists the promise of the Most High, that resists the plan of the Most High, whereby he shall bring this world to the course of peace. There are many, my brothers and sisters, who say they have already established their nations, their kingdoms, their congregations, their pulpits, and their thrones. But shall they, my brothers and sisters, be found favored of the Most High? Because they would resist one the Most High has already forenamed and already chosen, who is called by name the King of Israel. Shall the nations, my brothers and sisters, resist him who is called King of Kings? Shall they who are called Israel, my brothers and sisters, be found favored if they resist what the scriptures have declared, called the secret city prophecies that reveal how the Savior shall be revealed? Isaiah 66 says, when he is revealed after the destruction of a city, that is a mirror example of all that which has held Israel in bondage. Say, when that city is destroyed, it says, Israel shall be reborn suddenly as if it were in one day. Shall men resist coming in revelation of the truth of the gospel through one whom the Most High has spoken? And still be called, my brothers and sisters, the children of the birthright.
90 seconds.
I would have you to hear me, my brothers and sisters, the book of Hebrews. I said the book of Hebrews, my brothers and sisters, speaks also to the children of Esau, as much as it also speaks to the children of Israel. It's an admonition to all nations. And as much as it's an admonition to all nations, my brothers and sisters, it's an admonition also to Israel herself.
60 seconds.
Blessed are they then, my brothers and sisters, who are not despised. I said, who are not despised the coming of him who seems in his coming later, does not deserve an inheritance. At least it would seem at the part, at the hand, or at the mindset of those who said that all that they had gained by their hands. But remember, the Most High said that all should be blessed at the administration of one whom the Most High has chosen. Let not Israel be like Edom, my brothers and sisters, despising the birthright. For none of these factions, they call themselves faithful and claim the birthright without the blessing.
10
of the faithful
seconds.
One. To speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Adam Yah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Much more to speak concerning this. Keep listening and stay tuned. I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. Until we speak again, hallelujah! Keep listening, my brothers and sisters. I can only tell you this, in that it shall be said, read Romans 11:27 through about 12 and 2, and discern what the Most High has said concerning these things. And that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Yah. All, my brothers and sisters, must petition and be beholden to the Most High for his mercy. All must be petition the Most High for his mercy, because it is the Most High who will decide, my brothers and sisters, who is worthy. It is the Most High that shows man, again, the way of repentance, that no man be wise in his own after his own estimation. Blindness is in some part befallen Israel to the time the Gentiles comes to an end, meaning both Jew and Gentile have both become blind. Shall Israel, like the Gentiles, be selfishly ambitious to deny the coming of her king, when it is only through the hearkening of the one whom the Most High said he would send to subdue the nations, that inheritance isn't gathered at last by anyone? Much more to say concerning this, my brothers and sisters. Till we speak again, this has been Edomiah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. I would suggest also that you read, for instance, we're going to talk again tomorrow, Yah willing, about the book of Obadiah concerning these things. I say unto his might, unto his honor, unto his praise always, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah!